Let me remind you of something that Paul said during our communion service, and that is, God is for us. And if JJ were here, he would say, amen, somebody. God is for us. Thank you. That is something I tend to forget sometimes, and I hope y'all don't. I hope you remember that all the time. Well, in case you've been away for a while, last Sunday we finished up a 7-week series on the topic of being rooted in Christ. Now, the good news for those of you, if you missed some of those sermons, you can find the audio recordings on our website. And it's fabulous. The website, I mean. The website is fabulous. And listen, a really great big thank you to all of the team of the people who created the website, who maintain it, who revise it, who update it and keep it current. They're doing a great job, and I'm so thankful for them. What a week. What a terrible week it has been on planet Earth. In case we had forgotten, in case we needed some reminders of just how far mankind has fallen since the garden, in case we thought that time had somehow changed the heart of people so that we no longer were like this, every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. Was in Genesis before the flood. In case we thought that was no longer true, well, now we know. And in case we needed reminders that life is uncertain and short, well, now we've been reminded, and now we know. And now we know more than we wanted to know. And now we know way too much. And so as we sit here in the presence of God, still in shock, still with pain in our heart, still with images of death, violence and hatred spinning around in our heads, and with questions that have no answers bubbling around in our spirits, and with perhaps a great temptation to engage in some type of a morality comparison in which we weigh our little sins against the gigantic sins of others. I think it'd be good for us to take a moment, take a breath. Let's allow music and the words of a song remind us of something that is true. Something that even the horrors of what we've seen this week can't erase.
People get mad. There's a train of calling. You don't need no baggage. You just keep on going. All you need is faith. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. People get ready for the train to Jordan, picking up passengers from coast to coast. Faith is the key, open.
That's still great, isn't it? After a week like this, with the promise of even more to come, how many of us are ready? Ready for that train to pull into the station and pick us up and take us home? Well, all of you are like, yeah. Oh, wait, you mean now? You mean like right now? Well, maybe I'm not really ready for that train right now. Not yet. Not anyway. I get it. We've all got a lot more to do, don't we? We've all got a lot more to do. We're not actually so sick of this world yet, as bad as it is, that we're praying for the train to come now. Yeah, we know it's coming someday. And we'll be ready when it actually someday finally gets here. But not today. I mean, it could be today, I guess. But not likely. Right? That's probably what those 260 more young people were thinking at that music festival as death came out of the sky for them. And I mean, armies gathering right now to do battle in Israel, that doesn't really mean anything for God's timeline, does it? Maybe. Well, fortunately, for me anyway, I have found that as the preacher, I'm much better at asking questions than answering them. So I'm just going to leave all those questions with you to wrestle with. Wrestle with what they might mean for us. How are we going to live in the light of those questions? And all I'm going to do is remind you of the words of Brother Rod. People, get ready. Remember this guy? In case you need a reminder, because it's been a while, it's been a few minutes, this guy is our theme guy, I guess you will, for our theme of ready for this year, right? And he's a guy who looks like he's about to run a race in his work clothes. You see that? Now remember that? And the whole idea about that is, most of the time at least, Satan doesn't send you a text or a note saying, hey, I'm dropping in tomorrow around noon with a temptation. See you then, friend. Temptations hit us suddenly, hit us unexpectedly. What we thought was just going to be another day at the office suddenly turns into a battle, a race, if you will, to see if you or Satan is going to win. Or maybe out of the blue someday, somebody walks up to you and says, there is no God, prove me wrong. So that's what this guy is a reminder of for our theme of ready this year. But you know what? And this is the good part. There's actually something else that can suddenly be right there on us without really any warning, without sending us a text in advance saying, hey, I'm going to drop in tomorrow around noon. Hope you're ready. Any guesses what that might be? Opportunity. Opportunity can suddenly drop in on you. An opportunity to do something for the kingdom. An opportunity to serve someone in the name of Jesus. The opportunity to be what Jesus said we're supposed to be. Salt and light in a dark and tasteless world. We actually have a reminder of that message from Jesus written right up there on the bridge. Written in gigantic letters right up there on the bridge as you walk out of the building, so that the last thing you see when you walk out is that reminder from Jesus. You're the light of the world. Don't forget, you're the light. That's your mission. Now, be on the lookout for opportunities. Opportunities to shine as you leave, as you walk out the door. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in his letter to the Galatians. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Doing good. This is how we actually demonstrate or prove, if you will, the love that we love to say that we have for each other. And by the way, it's great to tell each other that you love each other. Don't ever stop doing that. Let me remind you of our purpose statement here at the Tammany Oaks Church of Christ. Tammany Oaks Church of Christ is a family learning to speak God's words and live His grace so the family will grow. Learning to speak God's words is vitally important. So keep on telling people that you love them. But also, keep on doing good for all people. Paul thinks that this idea of doing good was pretty important for the early church, for the young church, as it was just figuring out how to walk and how to run in those early years. He wrote a letter later on to Titus. Titus was a young man who was a preacher at the Church of Christ in Crete, the island of Crete. Chapter 2 of that book, Paul lists a number of things that he wants Titus to teach to certain groups of people within that church there. Interestingly, Paul does something a little different in that letter to Titus than he does in most of his letters. Usually, Paul will talk about all of the amazing things that God has done. And then he'll say something like, in light of all of these amazing things that God has done, this is how you ought to live. Well, here, he kind of does it the opposite way. First, he tells Titus the things that he wants him to teach to the various groups of Christians there in the church. And then he gives them the reasons why they should be doing these things. And here it is. That is the way we should live because God's grace has come. That grace can save everyone. That sentence there just this second jumped out at me. That grace can save everyone. Not just the great people who are sitting here in this building today. Everyone. Okay. It teaches us not to live against God and not to do the bad things the world wants us to do. It teaches us to live on earth now in a wise and right way. A way that shows true devotion to God. We should live like that while we are waiting for the coming of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is our great hope, and He will come with glory. He gave Himself for us. He died to free us from all evil. He died to make us pure, people who belong only to Him and who always want to do good. other translations of this. This is from the easy to read version. But other translation of this last phrase here. Always want to do good. Say, eager to do good, zealous to do good, or enthusiastic to do good. Does that, by the way, describe any of you? Eager, enthusiastic to do good. I think it does, by the way. From my position up here at the podium, and looking out over you guys in a figurative way. Then Paul moves on to chapter 3, where he talks about what it means to live as the church. And he starts with a word that I've used several times today already in this sermon. Paul says to Titus, remind God's people. Have y'all heard me say that word a few times today? Remind God's people of things we already know. You can only be reminded of something you already know, right? So when Paul says to Titus, remind God's people, we know that he considers that the things he's about to say, remind them of, are things that the church already knows, that things that are basic knowledge that God's people already know, things they've already been taught. But Paul thinks it's a good idea to remind people of even these basic things. Because it's so easy for us to be distracted. So easy for us to be overwhelmed by other things. Life, the terrible news of the day. Because of that, we could use some gentle reminders of things that are true about how we should live. Paul tells Titus, remind God's people who are living in a pretty bad world, where things bad are happening, remind God's people, I'm going to skip down to the next sentence, remind them to be ready to do what is good. Remind them to be ready to do what is good. That sounds to me like something we really shouldn't have to remind any of God's people about. To do what is good? It's almost shocking to me. It's almost shocking that that's what he would say. Remind them to be ready to do what is good. Why in the world would anybody need to remind the disciples of Jesus to be ready to do what is good? What could possibly be easier than that? Here's how Peter put it in a sermon recorded back in Acts 10, verse 38, which I don't have a slide for, but you might go back and read it this afternoon. This is how Peter describes the entire ministry of Jesus. 3 years of ministry of Jesus. Here's how he describes it. He went about doing good. He went about doing good. Surely, as disciples who want more than anything, as we've learned in our Wednesday night class, disciples of Jesus want more than anything to be like Jesus, to be like our Master. Sure that we're going to know that going about doing good is what we're supposed to do. Surely none of these disciples in Crete would have forgotten that they're supposed to be doing good. Why would they need to be reminded of something so simple? Well, I'm just guessing here, but maybe in the first century context in which these words were written, maybe the answer to that question about why they need to be reminded of something so simple lies in the other words of these verses here, where Paul says, obey the rulers and authorities. You see that? I mean, the rulers and authorities of that day were not good people, for the most part. They were not good people. In fact, they were so not good that they either turned a blind eye to other people persecuting Christians, or they actively promoted that, actively promoted or legislated the persecution of Christians. Yet somehow, for some reason, Paul reminds these ancient people and us that we're to be in submission to them. We're to obey these rulers. We're to obey them. Here. Anyway, okay, we're to obey them. We're not supposed to speak evil about them even. And maybe that's a message to us too. Especially now, yeah, we finished on election season last night. Now we start another one. Now a national election. Isn't that going to be fun? Isn't that going to be great? Maybe we need to be reminded of that as we get ready for that. And that applies, by the way, to our social media as well. Not just our oral speaking, but what we write. Okay? Let's not speak evil. As we see a world plunging perhaps into war again, let's not. We need to be reminded, I think. But maybe we say, come on, Paul, you simple first century man. You have no idea what the modern world is like. You haven't seen our so-called leaders, have you? You haven't seen 21st century terrorism, have you? Paul would like laugh. And say, dude, I've seen Emperor Nero, okay? I've seen people crucified by the hundreds at one time. I've seen innocent blood shed so much that it would make you sick. So please, I know. He says, at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when kindness and love, the love of God appeared, our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things, Titus, so that those who are trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable. Paul says we can be good even to people that don't deserve it. Even to people who are actively seeking our bad because they have been deceived. They're slaves to sin. They're slaves to Satan. We've been set free from all of that. We've been set free. That's why we can still do good to all of those people who are not doing good to us, who don't deserve it. Jesus said it this way on the cross: Father, forgive them. They don't have any idea what they're doing. I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. What we need to be reminded of is less what we're supposed to be doing and more about why we should be doing it. Why we can do good, even to the worst of people. I thought doing good was easy. Well, it is. It is easy. When you're doing good to the people who believe, the people of the household of faith, as it says in another translation, that's easy. But Jesus wants us to look beyond that. Look beyond doing good just to those of the household of faith. Now he wants us, actually now he requires of us to do good, not just keep our mouth shut, not just say good things, but to do good. To be, as it says here, to be ready to do whatever is good. In the NIV translation, ready to do whatever is good. For people to whom doing good is going to be very, very difficult. Do good to people to whom just speaking good will be very, very difficult. Be ready to do whatever is good to people for whom even thinking good or even praying good will be very, very difficult. And Jesus knows that this is going to be hard for his people. But he believes in us. He believes his people can live in this completely countercultural way, like he did. He just asks us to trust him. To trust that this really is the best way to live, even when it is very, very difficult. So being ready to do whatever is good, it all boils down to a matter of trust. Are we going to trust Jesus? Let's stand and sing and encourage each other.